Okay, can you hear me? Let's get started. First of all, thank you guys for coming to the session. I really appreciate your interest for these three things: .NET, Docker, Windows containers, and Azure. And precisely, this is going to be the topic of the session, so how you can modernize existing .NET applications, usually web or services, with Docker containers, Windows containers, and Azure. And when I say existing applications, I mean applications like traditional MVC, ASP.NET MVC, or web forms, or WCF services. Okay. My name is César de la Torre. I work for the .NET team, but specifically focused on anything related to Azure and microservices and containers and so on. And then we will have Wujan for one of the demos about Windows containers and Kubernetes as well in the session later on. So let's start. These are the objectives. You'll see, I'm going to show you what is our high-level vision of the modernization or the journey to the cloud using also Windows containers. Then I will show you the code area with Visual Studio, how you can easily containerize your applications with Visual Studio. And then we will see quite a few scenarios, how to containerize, but then how you can deploy to VMs, to Azure container instances, to Kubernetes and Docker, to Service Fabric Mesh, or Cibris in better name, and App Service with Windows containers. Some of them are still in private preview, but I will do a few demos of them. If you're interested, you can request access and get early access as well. And for all of them, I will deliver a demo. Some of them are less interest, or we don't have really the time for all the demos. And for instance, for VMs, which is pretty common, I wouldn't do an end-to-end demo. But also, before getting into the content and the different topics, I want to highlight that this is not just a single session with demos. Everything I'm going to explain in reality is a summary of guidance that we have created, and you can get from the .NET Application Architecture Center, which is an area that I own. And you can download free ebooks, free guides about those topics like microservices and container. That's another subject, but it's another area that I really focus a lot on, microservices architecture, or the one that we are going to focus today, which is modernizing existing applications. So you can download an ebook with all this material, like it's like 70 pages describing everything that I'm going to be telling today. And not just about the ebook, but we also have related sample applications or reference applications. So everything I'm going to be showing, you can go onto GitHub and run the same code in these scenarios. This is the ebook I was mentioning, focusing on this subject, how to modernize these .NET applications with containers. The reference apps are an MVC application, ASP.NET MVC, traditional web forms, and also WCF, and how you can containerize that with Windows containers and run it in multiple environments in Azure. So what is the journey to the cloud? It's okay, you might have traditional applications on premises, and then you might be thinking about moving that to the cloud, but you could do it in multiple ways. Sometimes it's better to do it gradually, or sometimes maybe you want to go to, you know, the high end or the best way in the cloud. But usually it's good to start gradually. It depends, right? So in here we have the cloud, and the first way you can migrate or go to the cloud is by simply migrating what you have. Like you might have servers or VMs on premises, and you just lift and shift that into the cloud. So it's just a simple migration, rehosting, and what in the industry is called lift and shift. That is the term also used by Gartner or by us or by Amazon. Or lift and shift is just putting the same in the cloud using VMs, and you're not touching anything about the code at all. And maybe, maybe you will need to change a few things in the infrastructure, but not in the application itself. The next step, or well, not next step, next phase or maturity state that you can have is you can modernize your applications. But within modernization, which is a very broad topic, you could do it just what you need to go to the cloud and get quite a few benefits, or you can go cloud native. Okay, so the first one is what we call cloud optimized applications. And what that means is you are containerizing your applications, might be monolithic applications, whatever what you have, and you probably use Windows containers if you were using .NET framework, and then you deploy it as Windows containers, plus you also use all the managed services in Azure. Like you might be using SQL database or Redis cache as a service or storage for files and images and so on. And finally, but the good benefit about this, and we will highlight that, is that even when you might be tweaking things, you are not re-architecting the application. You might need to change a little bit of code or configuration when working with containers, but you're not re-architecting or recoding a lot in your application. And finally, you can go the best way in the cloud, which is cloud native. Cloud native, it's a type of applications which the most important characteristic in cloud native is that you are basing your application on a microservice architecture. And for that, you really need to re-architect your application if you originally had a monolithic application, okay? Although sometimes I recommend most of the times not to, you know, fragment everything or split everything and go for microservices. Maybe it's better to go gradually and maintain what you have, and then if you have new features, you can add microservices for those new features. That would be the recommended thing. In any case, the focus for today's session is cloud optimized applications and how you can containerize with your existing applications. Okay, I also have other talks like in Ignite or the book that I wrote about microservices for cloud native, but this topic is about simply containerizing with Windows containers. Okay, so how do we get started here? Here you can see kind of the same maturity levels, but with different technologies. So if you just migrate with VMs, you're talking about just VMs in SQL, I mean in Azure or SQL VMs as well, and so on. And in here, we are also talking about other products, other technologies like Docker. You might be using Apps Insights for analytics, VSTS for your CI/CD pipelines, ACI, Azure Container Instances, App Service, SQL Database, and then containerizing your application, right? So this is the focus of this session. And then the other one is more about .NET Core, cross-platform, microservices, but that would be a different subject, okay? So I almost mentioned most of the pros and cons about this approach, but yeah, main thing is that you don't need to re-architect, and then you get all the benefits about Docker containers, which is your deployments are going to be improved. So your DevOps and your deployment agility is going to be a lot better because you will have less problems when deploying with Docker containers than when deploying just the application, and everything should be okay in the production environment, but sometimes it's not, and sometimes you are missing dependencies and things like that, right? So those are the pros. Cons, well, you will need to learn at least something about containers. So there's a learning curve that you need to learn. It's not just migrating the application as you had it, but that's the only cons that you're going to have. So you're not re-architecting, but you need to see what you have, how to containerize it, what are those files, and so on. That's what I'm going to explain later. And why Docker? Basically, probably you've heard, hey, this works in my machine, and why not in production? Usually, a lot of those cases is because in production, you were missing some dependency that you have in your machine. Like maybe it was using a different version of .NET framework, or you had a DLL or some library on your local machine, and that is not installed in production, and then you were getting those issues. With Docker, you solve that, because when you have an image that you deploy as a container, it comes with all the dependencies. So if it runs in Docker, it should run in production, at least anything related to the dependencies. Okay. So the keywords are dependencies, it's self-sufficient, you have everything in that image, and then you get a lot of benefits in regards to deployments. So it's great for dev tests and also as well, and deploying to production. You can run Docker containers either on Windows or Linux. When we say Windows containers or Windows Server containers, it is also about Docker engine. It's not, it's because of the branding, but the Docker engine is the same engine running on Linux or running on Windows. And so you have both choices. And then we will talk later about side-by-side as well, that's coming as well. And finally, if we're talking about Docker and .NET, we have different images. Like an image is like kind of the template of all the bits you need to deploy as a container. A container is kind of the instance of that template, of that image, right? So there are different base images depending on the operating system, Linux or Windows and so on. And then we have other base images for .NET. So if you have a .NET framework application like MVC, Web Forms, WCF, you should use the .NET framework container image, which is based on the Windows Server core image. And so that's because it needs usually IIS, and IIS is coming in Windows Server core. So this image is good for these scenarios for today, like modernizing your applications. The other image that we have is the .NET core image, and that can run, it's like a multi-architecture image, can run on Linux or on Windows Nano Server, and it's lighter because it has many less things to deploy, and it's usually the way to go if you're creating microservices and cloud-native applications, the .NET core images, okay? So you can go to Docker Hub and see these images where they are. And then the way you can containerize your application, you can do it with Visual Studio. Just right-click on your project and then add Docker support, and it will basically add like just three files that I'm going to show now, and then you just can create the Docker image and deploy it. So that's why there are a few files. It's not just deploying to Docker, but you need to create the Docker image based on those files that are added by Visual Studio. You could also add those three files manually, because those files are, I mean, like text files. So you could copy those files if you understand what it's in there and just then build the images, right? But Visual Studio helps you. So this is the first scenario. And these apps are in GitHub, so you can grab the code and play with it. The first one is an MVC application that we are going to containerize and then deploy into your Docker host in your PC. So in your PC, you need to install Docker for Windows and Visual Studio, and we will deploy that app in a container. We can also deploy the database as a SQL container on Windows. And the same thing would be another web forms application deployed as another container that could be used in the same SQL database. When I say SQL database in a container, this is great for development environments because you can create the SQL container, populate sample data, and then you can run tests and it will be predictable. We do not recommend to run SQL containers for production because it's a single container and so you won't have high availability. So in production, you should move that database to Azure SQL database where you have a high availability or a SQL cluster, okay? But for development environments, this is great because you don't have SQL installed in your machine. It just deploys a container and everything is running, okay? A very similar scenario would be with NTR application and WCF. So the demos are gonna be like with web apps, but it's you also have this code in the GitHub repo. So you containerize a WCF service that is accessing the same database, and then you might have another client in a different tier Could be a WinForms, like the one we have in the sample, could be WPF, or could be another web application, whatever, okay? And very similar would be if you have an ASP.NET web API, okay? Although that's more modern. So let's do a first demo. So here we have in Visual Studio, this is the eShop legacy MVC application. There are, in GitHub, there are a few projects called legacy. Those are kind of the baseline without Docker containers, kind of what you could have as a legacy application, right? So this is a MVC application, regular, right, with your controllers, code, and then, you know, web.config, but there's nothing about Docker here yet. Something interesting about this application is that in the code, we have coded something like we can mock accessing the data in SQL. So if you set this flag, you can see here, use mock data equals true, what we're doing is that we're using dependency injection. So if that flag is true, then we are injecting in the controller's repository a service that is using just data in a list, like generating data in memory, data in memory. If it is not using that flag, then it will inject a service, like a repository accessing the SQL container, and then it'll use Entity Framework and the DB context and so on. Okay, that's kind of something interesting. This is interesting because if you still haven't deployed SQL or don't have SQL, you can deploy the app as a container and everything will work. Okay, and then afterwards you'll be able to point to the SQL database and really access the. So for this first demo, I'm just going to use the mock data, and the way you add or containerize the application is right-click on the project, add Docker support, and then you'll see here that we're going to have a few files added. So this is the project that we had, and there's this file added, Docker file. And this is kind of the most important file for Docker, and it's saying that I'm going to create an image for my app based on the base image, Microsoft ASP.NET 471 for Windows Server Core. In here, this is a tag, and that's the way you can also update your image with new versions. Like, instead of putting this tag, I could say 47.2, and then I would get the new bits of the newest Docker image, okay? And then this is the entry point of my container, and it's going to be using IIS and so on. And then the other thing that Visual Studio did, because it's really simple what it does when you containerize, is add Docker Compose and Docker Compose Override. So the Docker Compose is just a file that helps you to deploy your application, because you could put multiple images and containers within the same Docker Compose file and then deploy multiple containers at the same time. Or you could just use Docker Run on the CLI and deploy a single one. But this is easier. So in this case, you see in the Docker Compose file, you put kind of the static information about your image. So in this case, you put the name of the image and then what's the name of the Docker file. And then that is going to help Docker to build the image, Docker Engine or from Visual Studio, which is the same. And then the other file, the Docker Compose Override, is where you put, it's like merging those files at runtime, but in Docker Compose Override, you put kind of the information that is more related to the environment where you are going to deploy. So for instance, in this environment, I want to use port 80, or I could say that in development, I want to use 88 or whatever the port I want to use, or maybe 80 and 88 externally and 80 for the internal port of the container. You will see more usage of this in the later on. And what I'm going to do, just switching because it's going to go fast, to this other project. It's exactly the same project, but I already have the Docker Compose files and Docker file, but I already have the containers running. So just when I hit on F5, it's going to quickly attach to the container. So instead of more seconds, it's instantly here running. You can see that if I do a Docker PS, I see the two containers running locally, each of legacy. Well, in this case, it's just one, right? Because I'm not running the SQL container yet. And the great thing about doing this from Visual Studio is that you can debug. Even when your application is within a container, I put a breakpoint. And when I click here into the details, you can see there's a breakpoint here. And you can debug the same way. You can see the information about the catalog that I'm getting, and then hit F5 and continue. So that's great. With Visual Studio, you get debugging within a container, in this case, a Windows container. You can also do the same with a Linux container. About the environment, you need to install Windows Docker for Windows. And you can see it's installed here. And Docker for Windows, this is coming from Docker. And another important thing is that you can switch to Linux containers or Windows containers. Because now I'm running Windows containers, you see there this switch to Linux containers. So that means I'm running Windows containers. Okay. So that's all for that. So is that easy to containerize? The other thing that I want to highlight is in the GitHub repo, you have the other version, which is not just containerized, but a little bit more modernized. So the same application. But now you can see that in the Docker Compose, we are also saying that we want to deploy a SQL container. And this is the base image for the SQL container for Windows, MSQL Server Windows Developer. And then in the Docker Compose override, you can see that we are putting the specific information for this environment. When we create that SQL container, I'm going to use this password or these ports externally, internally, and so on. And then saying that my application is not just using a port, but also I'm using environment variables for the connection string, or saying if I want to use the mock data or not, or even when I'm not going to have time for show this, in this code, we are also showing you how you can use Azure storage for the images. Instead of being images in a folder, you can use blobs in Azure, so that would be another modernization. You can use application insights, and this would be just the key that you need to use application insights, or how to use Active Directory in this application. So in here, you just put the IDs and the information you need to make it work. Okay, but the point is that in here, you put the configuration with environment variables in Docker. Okay, so that's all for the first demo about how you containerize and you tweak your application with configuration files. Okay, so the first scenario would be you have your PC, I was showing you, we have the PC environment, the images, and Docker, and then you want to deploy that into a VM in Azure. So whenever you want to deploy externally in a remote environment, you first need to publish your images that you had when you compiled from Visual Studio and when you use Docker build and the image that is in the local environment. Then you do a Docker push and you put that in a Docker registry. It's like a dictionary or a registry of images. And that could be a Docker hub from public images, or that also could be Azure Container Registry for your own images, for instance, as well. And from there, you can deploy it to a VM. And the way to deploy to a VM is usually you do it from a command line and with Docker pull first, and then so you get the image and then Docker run or Docker compose up. And then you have that in the VM. So just really quick, it's not really a demo, but so you saw that I had this Docker containers running. If you, let's suppose this is a VM, and you have these files in the VM, you just need the Docker compose files in the VM with all the information that I showed you. And then that is pointing, because of the name of the image, it will grab that image from the Docker registry in the internet, Docker Hub, or Azure Container Registry. And the only thing that you'll need to do in a VM, let's say this is a VM in Azure, is to run it saying Docker compose app. And that will grab those files and deploy those containers. You can go and do this in the VM in the console, or you can also do it remotely with certificates from a client computer and so on. So this scenario is step-by-step explained in the GitHub repo, but because it's kind of what everybody has been doing with Docker for a long time, I'm not going to demo that. I want to demo other newer scenarios, okay? But it's just like Docker Compose up, Docker Compose down, and things like that. The issue with the images, I mean with the VMs, is that, okay, just you get started, everything's working as supposed, but the VM is infrastructure as a service. So first day is great, but then in the future, you are owning that VM. You need to patch it. You need to upgrade it. And then if you want to put that in production, you'll need to load balance that. It's a lot of work, a lot of infrastructure work. So that's why we have many other products for containers that will make it a lot easier for you than when using VMs, okay? In the case of Windows containers, it has to be a Windows Server 2016 or later with Docker engine. Next scenario, and this is a lot simpler for developers, is Azure Container Instances, ACI. So from a developer point of view, it would be the same. I have my images, I run it in my PC, Visual Studio, what I just said. But then you push it, the image into the Docker registry. The way you do this is pretty simple. You write, like, you want to see the images in, let's come back here for a minute. You do Docker images, and you see all the images that are in my PC, right? So let's say I want to publish this one into the Docker Hub in the internet. So you just need to do this. Docker, well, I would do Docker login first with my user because I'm going to write in Docker Hub or in Azure Container Registry. But then you just need to do Docker push, and the name of the image. So it would be something like that. And with that command, it will push that image in the Docker registry, okay? It's that simple. So that's what I mean here when we are putting that Docker push in there. And then ACI is great because it's like a black box. You don't need to maintain it. You don't need to patch it or upgrade it. It's going to be there. And you just deploy a container in there, either a Linux container or Windows container. And this is GA, like RTM, since a few weeks ago for Windows containers as well. So the way you do this is with the Azure CLI commands. You can do it from PowerShell or Windows or also from Azure Cloud Shell within the browser. And it's not just deploying the container. It will also create endpoints with a DNS, full qualified domain. And so it's super easy to do it. So that's the demo I'm going to do now. So think that you don't have anything. You don't have you didn't create an AVM, or you just go to Azure And by the way, this is what you see about images in Docker Hub, for instance. They would be Docker Hub, the ASP.NET image, and this one would be the image that I'm going to deploy, my image of the MVC application. So the way you can deploy a container into ACI, Azure Containers Instance, you can do it from the portal, like I'm providing the container image, resource group, and then the information about that. Usually, because ACI is more for dev test environment, I would prefer to use the CLI. So in here, you can see a resource group where I already deployed Windows containers here. I'm going to open a console here, although you can also use a PowerShell. And the way you deploy it, I'm going to copy it because it's a long command. It's like this. But this is because I'm providing also environment variables like the mock data or whatever, right? So it's az container create the name of the image, right? This is the image, the resource group, then the location, what's going to be the name of the container, if it is Windows or Linux, how many CPUs, memory, the DNS name. So this is going to be what you write in the browser. If I want a public IP, what's going to be the port, and that's it. And then environment variables, that this is depending on your application, like use mock data, true, connection string, or use customization data if you want to load data from files. This is related to my application. And with that, you just hit, and it will be deployed. I can do it from here. And while it is doing that, I'm going to show you in here, you can see the already deployed containers that I have. So for instance, if I execute this, this other command, I'm going to list all the containers in ACI for one of my resource groups in Azure. And you can see that this information is the same information that you see here in the portal, right? So the name of the containers, I have one container with SQL that we're going to be using later, MVC containers or WCF on the web forms and so on. The one that I can go, it's this one, the MVC Windows eShop container. So this is once it's been deployed. And here you can see the fully qualified domain. I just copy that and paste it here. I already have it. And run it. And then you have the application. In this case, it's using the other container, the SQL container in ACI. In fact, I'm going to edit from here. I'm going to put here data, let's say, build 2018. So this is going to be saved in a SQL in the container. Okay. And that's it. Also, you can get that information about the container with this one. So I provide AZ container, the name of the container in ACI, the resource group, and then table, and you can see the information about this specific container. If I put table, it's this way. If I remove table, it will be a JSON with more information about that. But here you can see the image that it's been using, the IP, and so on. So is that easy? Just highlight that you don't really need to maintain anything. You just deploy a container and you test it. Something important about ACI is that even when you don't need to maintain that, it is considered infrastructure because it's like if you use a VM, you just deploy a container, a single container, one instance per image, okay? So this is not like you don't have high availability per container or you cannot scale out the same container. You just deploy one container, okay? So, but this is great for dev test scenarios or for, yeah, in your continuous deployment, you deploy in here, you do testing, things like that, right? Because you don't have to maintain a VM for your CI/CD pipelines, and you just deploy here and do whatever the test, and then ends, and that's it. And you just pay for that execution of the container, okay? So next thing is, okay, now I want to move to production. So what do I need? So first of all, about the data, instead of having a SQL container, you would move that into SQL database or any high availability system like a cluster and or managed instance in SQL. And then about compute, you need to scale out. So something that you cannot do with ACI, you can do it with other services for containers in Azure. So we have managed compute services for containers that we're gonna cover right now, where you can scale out and for the same image, you can have multiple instances, and then those instances are gonna be load balanced, and you can scale out, okay? So this is the Azure container ecosystem. As you saw below are kind of what it's considered infrastructure. So either VMs, VM scale sets, or ACI. And then up above, you can see other products like AKS with Kubernetes, or Service Fabric, or Service Fabric Mesh, which is more PaaS, and I will talk about that later on, batch or app service. So we're gonna talk about those as well today. And well, not batch, but about the other three and do a demo. And the first one would be Kubernetes. And we start the same way than previously. So we have a PC development environment, we have Visual Studio, and with Visual Studio, you build the image in your local repo in your PC just by building from Visual Studio or from Common CLI. And once you have that, and this is the new thing for Windows containers, you can have a whole Kubernetes cluster in your single PC. And what's new is that you could have that with Docker for Windows, for Linux containers, but now you can have it for Windows containers, like a Kubernetes cluster where you deploy Windows containers in your PC. It's still new and coming soon. Like, we're going to show things that still you won't be able to try, but in a few weeks. And this is precisely a demo for Wijan. And once you have that, so the demo is going to be about the development environment, okay? But eventually, you will push that image, those images into the registry, and you will deploy that also into Azure or any cluster, Kubernetes cluster, anywhere. Just to mention that in Azure, you have AKS. As of today, it supports Linux containers. Pretty soon, it will support Windows containers. Or you can also use ACS for Windows containers in preview. But so everything here is coming, but let's do the demo about the local environment with John. So yours is 7?
Yes. Okay, thank you, Caesar. So my name is Wei-Juan Davis. I'm from the Windows Container team. Windows Container is part of Hyper-V, and it's part of the actual OS team, and we power Azure. So one of the things that I've been focusing on with my team is how do we build, you know, how do we help customers, and especially enterprise customer, to modernize the traditional application, mainly .NET applications, to the latest stack, right? And have better experience end to end. It could be on premise, or it could be cloud, or hybrid in between. And you know that involves a lot of work and in the different work stream. For example, we need to bring up the platform technology. How do we maximize application compatibility in this container? Because you know, container is slightly different from VM or from your machine. Not everything works on the virtual, the actual server will work on containers. So we want to maximize that. And I also want to optimize the size and performance. Those are like basic fundamental things. The other aspect is how do we provide tooling to make your experience better? Specifically, like as your developer, you probably a lot of you use a Windows machine. So this is what I'm focusing on today. And our vision is, you know, as on your Windows PC, you will be using Docker for Windows. I think Cesar mentioned a few times. I'm going to show you a little bit. And Kubernetes is the de facto standard, you know, orchestrator of the industry standard. That's why I want to invest in that. And also we want to use Windows container. So we're going to combine the three together and show you a proof of concept. How do you leverage your PC locally and get, you know, familiar with the tooling, get familiar with the platform, and get ready to move to cloud or deploy in your production. Okay, so here I have already have Docker for Windows installed. I think Cesar showed you earlier, we have our friends in Docker give us a private build. It's really world premiere here. So you can see actually it shows Edge. So Docker for Windows itself has two different channels. There's a stable, there's Edge. Edge is more like a pre-release. You can get experiment different features. And so and if you're like try new things, I encourage you to try Edge. Or if you want to stable, go back to the stable channel. And right now, by default, we are using at the Windows. You can switch to support Linux container. But because this is a Windows container, we should stay as is. And to show you what we can do here, I'm going to use open a PowerShell window here. And before I do the actual demo, I want to show you what, you know, give you a quick look at what I have on my machine. There are a few images already put here, so you kind of see what's here and what's coming next. And I apologize, I think that the speed, network speed is a little bit, my machine is a little bit slow today. So you know, show you different images. For example, we saw like Microsoft Windows Server Core, and you can see the tag. This is a 18.03, this is actually brand new, it's just released. Published yesterday. It's the Docker image published yesterday. And we have Nano Server. I have previous old ones. The latest actually based on Windows Server 2016, et cetera. So there are different images. And I actually have a few Linux containers as well. And at this time, I like to see, those are images static on your machine, but also they're active running one. So I'll give a quick sense what's running. You'll see actually there's we call it LCOW, Linux Container on Windows. And sometimes we call it native running on your Windows environment. It's a Linux container on Windows you can run. And because we have to use that for the kube master, because today Kubernetes, the master of kube master has to be in the Linux environment. So we kind of put in the, you know, it's a container environment, but actually we're running the kube master on the container as well. So it's LCOW. So this is where we are. This is the I have here. And what I'm going to show you next is how to use Kubernetes. You know, either you're familiar, you're learning, you know, Kubernetes, the CTL command line to deploy Windows through, you know, all coming with Docker for Windows installation. So I'll show you a quick command here. So we'll be.
Can you put a little bit bigger the font?
Okay. I think I can do. That's too big. Okay, so I'll do, basically I'll run a, here we have a deployment here, and just for fun, I'll create multiple replicas. Let's say, actually I'll do three, it's just in the interest of time. And I
That's
need to-
That's what you cannot do, like for instance in ACI. So it's gonna have like multiple instances of the same container, of the
right.
Same image.
So, okay, so let me finish type here. This is, I mentioned that I'll be testing on Windows Server Core. Make sure I type it right, Server Core. And I'm gonna use the latest one, the one just published yesterday. And I'll just run a very simple command. So this is, you know, if you're familiar with Kubernetes, it's a very standard and a very basic command line here, and it will be run on PC. I think people are more familiar with on the server. If you're running that, use Kubernetes more like Azure or server. So let's go. Okay, so you should see a message showing you actually have a deployment created. And again, this is very slow on the stage. So we'll have that once we have that Kubernetes deployment created, it's actually automatic create a multiple pods. In this case, oh, there, yeah. So, okay, it's coming. So I'm gonna show you, use the Kubernetes, the kubectl command to show you what it is in the deployment. Deployment. So there's not a lot there, but it gives you a sense. This is real, this is happening. It's very basic, you have a sense of what's happening there. And other command, oftentimes, like if you're curious, there are different resources from once you deploy something. So I'll just run this and you can I'll show you multiple different resources. For example, it can be a pod, or maybe other time you create a service, or a replica set you're showing here. So we should be able to see three pods created here. And they should, you know, they'll start initiating the container creation, et cetera, and on its own. And you don't have to manage that. Okay, there we go. So coming, it's actually running. I think that's why it's so slow. So this is the main part of the demo. And like I mentioned earlier, our vision is really, you know, on your Windows PC, and you can use Kubernetes to deploy Windows container, and ideally also Linux containers side by side, right? So we're working on that, and we'll bring up all the technology together in one sort of shot, help you to do your local development better. And in fact, actually, Docker for Windows already support Linux container deployment deployed with Kubernetes today through the Edge channel. So I'm gonna show you quickly. It's not, doesn't work with Kubernetes yet, but it's already supported by Docker itself. So I'm gonna show you, go back to your Docker. I'll do a quick run. And the trick is this platform, the next parameter, and
So this is clear, the new thing here is that we are using Windows containers in the same Docker host, and in the same Docker host, we are deploying now a Linux containers, so side by side, okay?
Yeah, here I'm picking a busy box. It's very simple Linux container, and it'll just say a message, say hello. Okay, so it's a Linux. If you look for a busy box, it's kind of like a hello world command. So, and remember the platform. That's trigger. You don't have to like go back to Docker for Windows and switch to Linux container. That can take some time. Okay, so that's run. That should be running, and you'll see a message. And everything seems to be double time. We're almost finished. Okay, so once this finished, I'll show you what are the containers are running. There's a hello here. So the last here, so I want to show you, since we run different containers, et cetera, so I want to see, okay, what's like. You'll see a lot more things that a little bit, hold on. So you see still we have the kubemaster at the bottom and a few other ones. Those are like a sort of intermediate containers to help Kubernetes manage different resources. And also the actual container I created earlier, this Windows Server Core container. So that's a demo. I want to just recap, you know, today we're going to show you the visions of how do we combine all the best, you know, Docker Windows and Kubernetes and Windows container, and we want to bring the best local development experience and also, you know, help you support, you deploy, work on Windows container side by side. And it's a proof of concept, and we'll show more at DockerCon and other events. Thank you.
Cool. So another scenario would be to deploy Windows containers into Azure Service Fabric Mesh, which was in code name was called Seabreeze. Maybe you haven't heard that because it was internal. But Mesh, it's Service Fabric, but it's platform as a service. It's kind of serverless. So you don't have to create a cluster like you needed to do with Service Fabric regular, or like you need to do with Kubernetes. You need to create a cluster with a specific number of VMs. In this case, you just go to Mesh and deploy your application and the number of Windows containers you want to run. That's the difference with Mesh between other clusters or other orchestrators. in the development environment would be the same. I put it into Docker registry. But now with Azure Service Fabric Mesh, you just deploy it like in a black box. And you can also scale out here, because this is meant to be for production. Okay, so this is new in private preview since build, private preview 2. And the way you do it today in this private preview is from the command line. You will have many more things also in the portal. So let's do a demo about this. So the first thing that I want to show you is how you can deploy, actually. So you use the Azure CLI. This means Sybase. Maybe that will change. But then we are deploying, and we specify, we want to create a deployment. We specify the resource group in Azure, nothing new here. And then we just specify a template file, which is usually a JSON file. Also, we'll be able to do it with YAML. We will be simpler. And then the important thing here is this file, this definition file that I have here, open. So these files in Sybase or Mesh, what you do is you define the containers you're going to deploy, plus what you see in there is the definition of the network. So the network is the kind of the logical network that you use to communicate your containers, usually maybe microservices, between them internally, and how you expose externally out of Mesh to the world what you want to access. In this case, I was deploying the SQL container and the MVC application. And what I'm doing in this network, you see, I call it eShop Modernized Network. And I'm publishing this listener in port 5100 on the one application, Service Fabric application. A Service Fabric application is kind of the unit of deployment in Service Fabric. So this is the network, and then we have the services within the application. The application is what we deploy. And then the first service would be the MVC application. This is the service. And here we specify the image I'm deploying for this container, and the internal port I'm going to be using, 80, but externally is going to be the one defined in the network, so 5100. And then the other all the environment variables that we were talking about, they use mock data and so on. And then the SQL container, kind of with a password and whatever, kind of similar on how you do it with a plain Docker. But here, the important thing is that this is an orchestrator. So I can say I want to have two instances of this container, or I want to have 500 or whatever the number, OK? And then, I mean, you just run it. What I'm going to do is show you this in Azure of containers that I already deployed in Sybase or in Service Fabric Mesh. So this is the resource group. And here you can see the application, the Service Fabric Mesh in here. And if I get into it, I can see that it has two services. And going further, If I can query the network, so I see, so from here, query the network of that application, and I see the IP where it's deployed the application. And because we said it was published on port 5100, if I go to the browser, I put that IP 5100, and I run it, that should be the application running in Service Fabric Mesh. And while this is starting, we can also query that application. So you can see the Service Fabric application, it has two containers, the MVC, the SQL, For the MVC, we have one instance, but for the SQL, we have one. For the MVC, we have two, could be 20 or whatever the number that we want to scale out, okay? And here we have the application running on that IP, on that port, okay? And that's it. Is that that easy to deploy into Cerberus from command line? Let's move on. And the final scenario, it's with app service. So app service is a great environment pass for simple applications or web applications. And it supports Linux containers since last year. The news is that since this week, app service also supports Windows containers in private preview. So it would be the same thing. You push the image into container registry, and then you deploy it into app service from the Azure portal or Visual Studio tooling coming as well. In this case, we deploy just the application because the only ports that you have in app service are SSL or 80. So the databases should be outside, either SQL database or a container in ACI or whatever, right? So let's do this demo as well. And by the way, I just want to show you, this was the, remember that we changed the application, the data in SQL in the container. So if I open SQL Server Management Studio and I connect to the container in ACI with SQL, we can see the tables. So this one is the catalog. Okay, that's what we changed from ACI. But now in app service, we're gonna consume the same SQL. Okay, so in app service, we have the typical app service definition. You see that in Azure in orange because this is an internal private preview. But if I go to the definition of the application, you can specify what is the Windows container image that I want to use. Other important things are you can scale out. In this case, I just have one instance, but I could scale out to more instances of the Windows container, right? Or the other important thing is the application settings, where you can specify the environment variables that we were talking about. You can see here, in this case, if I want to use mock data, in this case, this one is using mock data here, that's why you see it, but in this other definition of the this other app, called Issue Modernized with Remote SQL, what I'm doing is in this connection string, I'm pointing to the SQL container in ACI. So if I just go to the app service and browse from here, I go to the application eShop Modernized with Remote Database. And you can see that is showing now the data coming from the other SQL container, okay? This could also be a remote SQL database in Azure or whatever. And that's the way you do it in app service, really simple, just in the configuration, pretty similar to the way you do it with Linux containers. The news is that you can now deploy Windows containers into app service. So in many cases where you might, were maybe not able to deploy into app service because app service without containers is like a sandbox, and there are many things that you might not be able to run. Like, for instance, a PDF generator that was doing something in the Windows server, or something external, or using COMPLUS components. Or there are many dependencies that are not allowed in a regular app service when you just deploy the application. When you deploy Windows containers, that container is coming with all the dependencies, everything you need, and everything will work within about the dependencies. Everything will work within App Service. So that's the huge difference compared App Service with Windows containers with a simple App Service with just your application. Okay. What else here? And by the way, for instance, here I have other environment. Not sure if I have. No, I need a VPN. But in any case, this other environment was App Service, but in Azure Stack. So you can do the same with in Azure Stack on premises, so not just in Azure in the cloud. Okay. So this is about App Service. And now, at this point, we've been talking about the benefits of Docker containers, Windows containers, and so on, and many, many ways to deploy it, right? So if I were you, one question that I might have is, okay, so what do I use? A VM, ACI, App Service, Service Fabric Mesh, Kubernetes, anything else, DCOS, there are many other things, right? So now I'm going to try to provide kind of some by default guidance on this. And this would be kind of the by default selection criteria. And take this slide and the next one with a pinch of salt, because it really depends on your application. But by default, there are certain criteria like this that you can think about. Depending on your application, might change. I can show you or tell you a few things that you could consider. But for instance, if you are using Windows containers and you have a single monolithic application, I mean, the best way to go, the simplest way, will be Azure App Service with Windows containers. If you have like an N-tier application, it's more about services, maybe WCF services. In this case, it depends. If you have like a coarse grain services, like just a backend, single backend, or maybe just a very few services, I could still use App Service. If it is more kind of going more to SOA or like more fine-grained services, more complex, kind of heading to microservices, I would use then an orchestrator, either AKS with Kubernetes or Service Fabric. And then talking about microservices, you can use Kubernetes, AKS, or you can use Service Fabric. Microservices is out of the scope of this session, but since we are talking about these platforms, my recommendation is AKS and Kubernetes is more mature in Linux. So if you are talking, if you are deploying to Linux, probably my recommendation would be to use Kubernetes. If you're deploying to Windows, Service Fabric is more mature in Windows, and Windows containers is, with Windows containers, it's been GA since 1 year ago. In Kubernetes is still in preview. So probably I would recommend Service Fabric for Windows. Although this is just like a moment in time now, in a few months or a year, it's going to be more a matter of preference when talking about orchestrators, or if you prefer something that is more kind of 100% Microsoft and or like a Microsoft Shop or more Service Fabric and something that Microsoft uses for other services as well in Azure, like Cosmos DB and Service Bus and SQL, those products are running on top of Service Fabric. Or if you prefer to use on open source as well, but multi-cloud or in different different areas, then use Kubernetes, right? So in Azure, you can run any of them, and we're happy that you use any of them, right? Then if it is about serverless functions, event handlers, and so on, Azure Functions are the best way to go, and large-scale batch, Azure Batch. But like I said, depending on your specific application, sometimes it might change. But this is kind of a by default thing. Here you have a more elaborate table with all those products and the architecture types of the applications. And you can see that we were trying to highlight the possible ways of doing or deploying an application, and then what could be the by default choice. But as I mentioned, sometimes could be different. Like for NTR apps, could be also App Service. It depends on the complexity of your applications and if it is Linux or Windows and so on, okay? And if there's any question later about this, just go ahead. For the session that we were focusing today, it was just about, you know, web apps, simple web apps, or NTR applications. And then finally, about CI/CD, because I've been showing you how to deploy and how to push the images from the development machine, but that's a way to learn, but not the way it should be in a project. In a project, you should just push your code into Git, or GitHub, or whatever the code repo you have. You should never push the image from your PC into the Docker registry. So you just push your code, and then you have your CI pipelines, and in there is where you build your code, your bits, and the Docker image, and from your CI pipeline is where you push the image into the Docker registry, Docker Hub or Azure Container Registry, and then you will have your CD deployment pipelines, and you grab that image from the registry, and then you deploy it to any of those environments that we were talking about. Okay, could be some of them for dev test environments or for production environment. But the kind of the critical piece here, or what's new compared to traditional DevOps or traditional CI/CD, is the Docker registry in between with the Docker images. And this is great because what you get with this is like when you create an image, it's like a snapshot of your application with a specific version, and it's if it's working in this environment, it will work in a comparable environment for sure, because you are having all the dependencies in that container. So that's the benefits you get with Docker and when deploying and making better, a lot better, your DevOps and CI/CD pipelines. So just want to show you very quick another quick demo, but so here I have VSTS, where I can go to the build pipeline, issue modernizing, MVC. And in here, I can edit it. And after compiling, this is where I'm building the Docker image and then pushing that to Docker Hub. Okay, so that's the first piece in your CI pipeline. The second piece would be the deployment. So you can see here I have many releases deploying to ACI or deploying to Kubernetes, Service Fabric, and so on, and the different applications. If I go to this one, for instance, and I edit that just to show you how you can deploy to ACI from VSTS. So it's pretty simple with this task. You just use the same CLI, but in this case, I get the parameters from a JSON file, and it deploys that into ACI, okay? And the same thing, like whatever I've been doing here manually from my laptop, you can do the same from the CI/CD pipelines in VSTS or any other system, Jenkins or whatever, okay? And we are done. Just a few call to actions. You can go to migrate to the cloud. This is a page we have in the .NET team, in the .NET site, with a kind of summaries of the ways you can migrate to the cloud. And again, remind you about the ebook that it's like telling you in a lot more detail. This is like 80 pages. with everything I've been talking today, but better explain, and then the reference applications, a few customer references using these technologies, and that's it. Session key takeaways, well, we think that Windows containers are really strategic in when you want to modernize your existing .NET framework applications. Everything is coming super fast. And then Azure provides, it's an open cloud and provides all the choices, but that's good. But we are also providing guidance on what to choose depending on your application, okay? And with those ebooks that I'm mentioning. And that's it. I think we have a few minutes for Q&A. Feel free to go ahead. Thank you.